Good evening. It's a privilege to be here with you tonight, and I greatly value the friendships I already have in this church here, in this congregation, and I hope to meet all of you after the service as well. And I value the friendships here and the gospel partnership as well that stretches all around this world. It's an encouragement to us in Sweden as well, and we appreciate your prayers as well. We'll start this evening by standing up and reading together God's Word from Philippians chapter 1. With start in verse 19. Philippians 1:19. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for your precious word. We pray most of all that you would open our hearts so that you might have access to us by your grace to do your work inside of us, that we might resemble the Lord Jesus more and more in our lives. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Please be seated. I kind of left Sweden at a bad time because they have just started to renovate our kitchen at home. And you know, when we do things like that, there are so many hard choices. And I don't like those. You know, what type of tile should we have and how will that match the other things in the kitchen and so on. And I just, for me, the best thing is just, let's just decide something, you know, and move on. I don't like to be conflicted. I don't like to live with the tension. It doesn't feel good. And I think that describes us all to some degree. We want our lives to be nice and smooth. If we can avoid difficult circumstances, then we'll do it. If we can choose an easy road ahead, then we'll take that road. We don't say, okay, hold on, now I'm going to place myself and my family in a tight spot. That's not how we think. But today's text and sermon is about being conflicted. And also that being conflicted is not necessarily something bad for us. The Christian faith includes many things that seem to be paradoxes. And here we have one of those things today. And I think if we are to understand how it could ever be a good thing to be conflicted, we have to delve into Paul's mind, his emotional state, his thoughts, and what he is all about here when he says, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. He's torn in two different directions. But I hope that we'll see that this is a good and necessary thing for us. So there's a simple point here in this passage, something that Paul desired to teach then and which is relevant and good for us today as well, and that is that it is necessary for us to be in this life conflicted between two good things. So we'll take a look at those desires of Paul that is conflicting for him. And the first one is the desire for joy in heaven. That's his first desire. And the second one is the desire for serving here on earth. So the desire for joy in heaven and the desire for serving on earth. So first, we'll look at what he says about his desire for joy in heaven. And as we read this and think about this, we must remember that Paul is in prison at this time. Paul, the great preacher, the church planter, the one moving about, long travels, always busy doing the work of God, he is confined. He's in prison. That which he could do previously, he can't do anymore. So we can imagine, you can imagine, if you are an active person, perhaps if you love to serve other people, to do good to them, and you are in a terrible accident, and you're paralyzed, and that thing which gave you meaning and purpose and joy is now taken away from you, how that would feel. So could it be that Paul has similar thoughts here as he's writing and as he's thinking about death for himself? Well, in any case, he is wishing here to be with the Lord. And the trouble is that he's faced with two options. And both of these options are good. He could either remain on earth and live in Christ, which is good. Or he could die and be with Christ in heaven. These things are not the same thing, but they're both good. To live is Christ, he says, and to die is gain. And sometimes we're in a similar situation, right? We have to choose between two things. And if one thing is bad and one is good, well, then it's easy. But if you have two bad choices, a choice between two bad things or a choice between two good things, well, then it's more difficult. But when we look at Paul here and understand what he's thinking, we get a glimpse of something profound that is relevant to us as disciples. So I think we should be thankful to have this struggle of Paul in this letter. He speaks about his strong desire to depart, to leave his earthly body, because he is pulled at this moment in two directions. It's like he has ropes to his arms and there's two horses pulling him apart. He's about to split in half. So he describes it in verse 22, to die is gain. This is his first desire of heaven. And in 23, my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. And it's an interesting choice of words here. He wants to depart. He wants to leave this place. He wants to move on somewhere else than where he is. And that leaving, that moving, must be through death to get to where the best thing is for him. Through the grave, through death, to Christ himself. Because he knows that fellowship with the ascended Savior is far better than anything else possible. So what is the death for a Christian? What is death for us who believe? Well, like we're reminded here, it is far better for us to die, to move on, to be with Christ. Here we live, with Christ, in Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Yes, and Paul did too. He lived with grace in his life, but it wasn't perfect grace. He lived in a state of imperfection, and he had grace, yes, but there was conflict in his life as well. Things were not as good for him as they could have been, as they are in heaven. So what is death? Well, death is only a door that is opened for us to be with Christ forever. And heaven is the best thing because Christ is the best. And so to be with Christ means to be in full communion, full fellowship, full friendship with the Lord Jesus, where he gives us grace to the fullest, perfect grace. Glory with him. And part of the reason that we struggle on this earth, of course, is that we live with conflict of different things, in different ways. It's a struggle, this life that we live right now. And it's a struggle partly because there is sin in our lives. With you as well, you keep doing, don't you, the things that you know are wrong. They are harmful to you and to your family and to your friends. They're painful, and we keep doing these things, these foolish things sometimes, to ourselves and to others. And there are forgiveness, yes, but the hurt remains. The consequences of the things we do, they don't just vanish. So there's no question about it for all of us here. It would be far better for every single one of us, if we are in Christ now, if we died right now. Personally, for us all, it would be superior. There cannot be a better thing for you and I than if we died. But of course, here's the crux of the matter. It wouldn't be the best thing necessarily for other people. It would be the best thing for us personally. So this is Paul's first desire, his strong desire. He longs to be with Christ, and he knows that this is the best thing. He wants to leave, to depart from this world, to be with the glorious Savior, the all-magnificent Jesus who has saved him from death. And the second thing that Paul desires here is to remain or to serve here on earth. So in the beginning of the letter, Paul speaks of his imprisonment, and that even that can be a cause for joy. He says in the beginning, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." So this advancement of the gospel, that is always Paul's greatest prayer, his strong desire to serve here on earth. And that desire is in the end what won the day for him. So he says it in this way in verse 22, "If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me." And what is the fruitful labor that he has in mind? Well, in verse 24, "But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith." So why does Paul want to stay, to remain? Well, it's very simple. On your account. For your sakes, he says. It's for you. For the sake of the people of God. So that there might be fruit among them. For the sake of God's grace here among people. So loving people is more important than personal happiness for him. Isn't that amazing? So Richard Sibbes, the Puritan, he summarizes it in this way. Oh, the power of grace in the heart of God's children that makes them content to be without the joys of heaven for a time, that they may do God's service in serving His church here upon earth. And that sums it up. When grace comes into our lives, it drives out self-seeking desires so that we can live here for one another. It's necessary, Paul says. He's not necessary, that's not what he's saying, that he is indispensable in some way and we're not, but nevertheless, it is necessary that people like him remain on earth. It's necessary for the good of the people, for the good of people, for the good of the church. And that in itself is amazing, that God has chosen to use us, people, to do good on this earth, to spread love and blessing in this world. And what kind of people is Paul talking about here? Well, of course, sinners, we're all sinners, but he's talking about good people, people with the Holy Spirit, people that are holy, that are doing good to others. It's good people that are beneficial to others because they do good things. It seems simple and silly, but that's how it is. Loving people spread love and do good things. We know this is true, right? From all areas of our lives. To be a good father is good for the family. To have a good ruler or rulers in a country is good for the population. So good men, wherever they're found, are good for others. They're to be valued, right? A good teacher is good for the students. A good man or a good woman or a good child is not just good for themselves, they're good for others. Why? Well, because to be good is to be loving, to love other people. Love that doesn't seek its own, but seeks the good of others. Because we know when Christ comes into our souls and He starts doing His wonderful work in our lives, we deny ourselves and all that self-love is pushed out. As He comes in, the self-love is pushed out and we want to serve others. So here's a useful application for us all. It doesn't matter if we are children or adults, if we're poor or rich, if we serve in some official capacity in the church, or if we're members of the church, all of us can enter into this by doing good, by loving those around us. We can spend our efforts, our time, on other people. We can strive by the grace of God to do good, to deny ourselves. We can follow the example of Paul and, of course, of our Savior, who denied all the riches of heaven to lay down His life for us. So if you have grace now, it is not just for yourself. It is for other people. So we ask ourselves, why has God placed me here right now in this place? What is my purpose? How should I be good to others? How should I love them? That's what it means to be in communion daily with God through Jesus Christ. To be in constant prayer, in constant fellowship with the living God, is that I make my desires known to Him and I ask Him for grace. I'm ready to do His will wherever I am. And each one of us here, we do not know how much good we can do to others. Right? We have no idea. It's not the time to be pessimistic now of that we can't help other people. God can do these things. If He can fit a camel through the eye of a needle, then He can use us all to do His purposes. That's why we're here. That's why God has saved us, so that we might serve people. And that's such a privilege. That's such an honor to have that perspective in our lives. But of course, there is another application here, I think, that Paul is thinking about in this text. Maybe it's even primary in his mind, because he's thinking about himself. He's talking about his work, personally, what he is called to do. And he has a special calling, right? He is to be a minister of the gospel. He is to preach the good news about Jesus. He is supposed to pray for people. That's why he desires to remain in the flesh, to forego heaven for a time. He says, for your progress and joy in the faith. That's why he wants to stay, to preach, so that people will grow up in the faith. And what is growing up in the faith? Well, isn't that what he has talked about for himself? The desire of heaven. Isn't that what he's talking about here? Isn't progress and joy in the faith the same thing as growing in our desire of heaven to be with Christ? Isn't it our hope of heaven that produces love in this world? The two are connected. As I long more and more to be with Christ, the more I'm going to love other people. And that's an interesting observation, right? So do we see then the purpose of good preaching, of gospel preaching? What is the purpose? Well, it is so that people will grow in their hope of heaven and love people. So Paul wishes, in a sense, we could say, that all of us would have this and live with this tension that he himself is living with. He wants us to have the same conflicting desires as he has. He wishes for us to have an intense longing for heaven. And the means to do this, to grow in this desire, is to take in the Word of God in our lives. And Paul wants to remain so that he can preach and influence, so that he can disciple people in this direction, so that people will loosen their grip of this world and long for heaven instead. But be willing to stay and live for people. So, do we see then how useful it is to have good pastors and good preachers? How else can we hope to grow as we should in our hope of heaven? What is the church without a preacher? Well, it seems like a silly question, but we need to be reminded of this. This is God's design to give us all hope so that we long for heaven and love people. And I'll tell you, I need this myself so badly in my life. My problem, I don't know about you, but my problem is not that I go around hoping too much for heaven. I'm not longing too much to be with Christ. No, it's necessary to be under the ministry of the Word, to receive God's Word. I need to have these godly desires infused into me, into my heart, so that I long for heaven. I need to have the Holy Spirit open up my heart so that He can do His marvelous work of grace in me more and more. Another way to put it is, why should I belong to a church? Well, so that I can grow in the hope of heaven, and therefore learn to love people as myself. So, Here's the question then for us, for you. Are you ready to commit to prayer for these things? Are you ready? Will you commit to pray for your pastor, for other pastors around the world, so that they will be good pastors, that they will deliver the word of God, so that you may grow in your hope? And will you also commit to pray for yourselves, that you will grow in your hope of heaven, in your desires, so that you can love your wife, so that you can love your children and your church and a dying world? Will you do it? Will you commit to this? And I say, this amazing mechanism, if you want to call it this order that the apostle has laid out for us here, why he should remain to preach to people, that's what keeps me going in my ministry. It's not that I am a fantastic preacher, or that God needs me, or Sweden needs me, or that there will be many, many people in the church in Sweden. No, I know that this is the way of God to our hearts. This is how He does His work in us. And what are we doing without this? We have nothing without this. And what are you doing here if you're not convinced that this is how God wants to open you up, do heart surgery, change you, so that you will be more like the Lord Jesus? So, dear brothers and sisters, I hope this is clear to you what a blessing it is to be torn between heaven and earth. This tension is a blessing that we should embrace, because we learn to live a life of love. And God and the Lord Jesus, He wants to cleanse you. He wants to set you free to do good, to serve, to live for others. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we give You thanks for Your many blessings, for the clarity of Your word, for the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And we pray, O Lord, that we would be used by You to accomplish much good for Your church and for this world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.